Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, this is not a message on tongues, in case you're wondering today. We probably won't get that far, but I want to look for a moment at verse 1. Because the terminology used here is very unique. It says they were all with one accord. Some translations say in one accord. Some say they were all together. But the word in Greek is a very unique word. It's only appears 12 times in the New Testament, and 10 of those times is here in the book of Acts. And it's a combination of two words, and it really, if you will, helps to describe and gain understanding to the Christian community as Jesus desires us to be. The word, and I'm sure I'll butcher it. I actually listened to it on my computer a few times, but I've done something since then, and I'm like, I probably won't say it right. Homothymedon. Okay, I'm sure I butchered, but you can look it up in your concordance or your lexicon if you want. But it's a compound of two words, and it means assembled together, the two words, and fierce passion. Assembled together in fierce passion. Okay? The image evokes an image, if you will, because there's 120 together. And the way the Spirit caused the writer to write this, they were assembled together with a common goal that evoked within them a passionate determination to see that goal manifest. Okay? The promise of the Holy Spirit was the goal. And what it looks like, I guess, what their passion looked like is anybody's guess. But it meant they probably had to be tolerant of their neighbor. Because there was a promise, and we need to see it manifest. It meant they probably had to exercise their faith when they got tired or duty called. It meant they probably had to pray and worship and communicate with one another. 120 people together who are, as this word says, in one accord. It's hard to get three people together and be in one accord. Difficult, all you married people, two, right? But yet, there was something that caused them to be together and with one passion, with one pursuit, with one understanding. And to me, this is nothing short of, again, just a visual image of like a whole orchestra gathered together, 120-piece orchestra gathered together, everybody having their own instrument, their own responsibility, not being annoyed by the other person who needed to be in tune or the other person who was playing over them, all together with one master conductor. For this period of time, and again, we don't know everything they did, but I'm telling you, Scripture tells us as iron sharpens iron, one man sharpens another. They were grinding on each other a little bit. That's what humans do when they're forced to be together for an extended period of time. I'm a kind of guy, I love being around people, and then I love being around nobody. Okay? Some would not believe this in me, but I'm probably, if I were to look at the introvert, extrovert, I'm probably more on the introvert scale. And the reason why is because when I'm around people, I feel a need to just be connected and to love and just to find out what's going on with them. And then when I'm over with that, I'm like, I am so over this right now. I need to just be away. I need to recharge. I need silence. I don't want to hear the radio. I don't want to hear anything. I just want quiet. Well, It doesn't sound like these 120 people were able even to do that. They're together in this place, waiting on this promise, and somehow in faith, somehow not complaining and moaning and groaning, because that wouldn't be in one accord, somehow they maintained a PMA, a positive mental attitude. I'm sure it wasn't perfect, but it was probably empowered by the Holy Spirit. Now, one of the reasons why I'm just talking about this a little bit is because I believe it's where the Lord right now is wanting to direct his church. You know, the place was not nearly as important as the people and the posture of their hearts. They had a promise from God, and they decided it was worth assembling together and contending for. They passionately pursued the Lord's will for his church together. They didn't say it's Peter's responsibility. They didn't say, you know, it's John's responsibility. They said there's 120 of us here. It's our responsibility to get our hearts in line for the promise to be fulfilled for all of us. Now, what happened, you know, in the next few moments after this Holy Spirit was poured out, for those of you who know the story, I'll just, you know, try to be brief for the ones who don't or aren't clear with it. As the Holy Spirit falls on these people, Scripture says they're talking in tongues, languages, and people from all over, every language, every different dialect of Jew from all over the world were there, and they were marveling at the fact that they'd hear these people, each one, speaking in their own language. And they were like, this is incredible. All these, and there was probably, you could count them in the text, but maybe a dozen different dialects, and each one says, I'm hearing them speak my language. And this guy says, well, I'm hearing them speak my language. Now, I just want to be doctrinally accurate here, okay? Some have taken that, what I believe, taken liberty with that scripture that I just want to say, I don't take that liberty. It doesn't say in that scripture that every person heard somebody speaking his language. Because many who want to do away with the miraculous power of the Holy Spirit say, well, what happened was God gave somebody, each person in the crowd, one of the 12 dialects that were present, so that one of each person that was there could hear somebody speaking in his dialect. It does not say that. You cannot find that in the text anywhere. What it says was they were speaking in tongues, and that term tongues is unknown or new dialects, and that each person, by the power of the Holy Spirit, was hearing that unknown language in their native tongue. There was a supernatural manifestation of fire in the room and of people being able to hear by the Spirit something that they otherwise would not be able to hear. I think it's so significant to note that. Both the speaking and the hearing were something empowered by the Holy Spirit. I want my words and I want that which I hear to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. And I think it's so important because we rely and if you will, kind of a default to our natural understanding, our natural ears, our natural a way of perceiving things. And those in that room who were of one accord, those in that room who were together, were given a mission by God, and it was all supernatural. It was not empowered by good works. It was empowered by the presence of God and their obedience to wait upon him. So Peter stands up, because the people that were marveling and watching this, it says they were amazed and perplexed, saying, whatever could this mean? In verse 12, and some mocked and said, they're full of new wine, a.k.a. they're all drunk. So Peter stands up and he says, no, they're not drunk. It's the beginning of seeing Joel's prophecy fulfilled. And then he quotes the prophet Joel, and the prophet Joel said that in the last days, says God, I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. My men servant and all my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth below, blood and fire and vapors of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness, the moon into blood, before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Wow. I like it. But here's the thing. It began there. It began there. It's still on the increase in the here and now. One of the understandings we have about the kingdom of God is the already and the not yet. More than one place in the scripture, it talks about we've been given the Holy Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. This deposit was, by God's design, given on the day of the celebration of first fruits. Okay? Now, if you understand the agricultural explanation that Jesus often gives when he's talking about, trying to give examples or doing parables, the harvest, the first fruit harvest, wasn't the celebration after the harvest was brought in. It was the celebration at the beginning of the wheat harvest, this specific one. So it wasn't, hey, after everything happened, we have a party. It was no. When it begins to happen, we acknowledge this festival, this feast, this Shavuot. I think it's really, really important to understand that as the harvest increases, there's a day where, it's over, but we're in the middle of the increase, is my point. It began then, but both by looking at Joel's prophecy, because so many things that haven't happened yet, and at looking at what Scripture has to say, there's a culmination that is coming. There's a great harvest that's on his way. There's a coming revival in the earth that you and I get to participate in before the great and terrible day of the Lord. The great and terrible day of the Lord is something that there's been misunderstanding of, but I believe God is gonna put the main and the plain of understanding for everybody to hear. The great day for those who are believing and agreeing with the Lord, just like the 120 did as they waited for the promise to be fulfilled. The terrible day of the Lord is the one who says, oh, it's not really gonna happen like the Bible says. Oh, it's probably way far off. Oh, this is probably not even real. It's a fantasy. It's a make-believe story. It's just like any other fairy tale. Why would anybody believe dead people can rise again and a man who was buried somehow is going to come back and rule as king forever? It's ridiculous. Let's just live our life. Let's just be good, responsible people and que sera, sera. But no. I believe the Holy Spirit has been given on that day. And there is an invitation now for us to receive the more. I believe there's an invitation now for us to begin to partner in a way that may cause us inconvenience, but the payoff will be much greater in the long run. I think the church of this day, that's why he describes it as the great and terrible day of the Lord. The second coming of Jesus is the central happening in all of Scripture. It's greater than the first coming, although most Christianity doesn't acknowledge, because that was the beginning of something. The return of Christ is the culmination of something. At the end of the age, all humanity is going to see the God-man-king coming, riding on the clouds. Their hearts, those who have trusted and believed, their hearts are full, and they are engaged with the work of the Holy Spirit. And the Scripture tells us at the same time, both the Spirit and the bride, the God, the invisible power that magnifies Jesus, and the church, the human vessels that contain his Spirit, are so overwhelmed and filled and in agreement with him, the Spirit and the bride say, come together. And the one who they're crying for shows up. He doesn't leave them lingering, wanting. Is he really? No. It says the Spirit and the bride say, come, and he shows up on the scene. And I believe right now is the time where we're not to be hiding, we're not to be criticizing, we're not to be fatigued by all the busyness. If there was a time ever, I see a trend, and I understand it too. At first I thought, well, it's kind of quaint and kind of peculiar, but simple living, tiny houses, unencumbered existence that is a whole lot less materialistic. It's kind of been trendy over the last several years, but I believe there's something of the Spirit of God in that, that says, when the things of this world capture your attention and your affection more than God does, then God, the way he described it is, he will shake everything that can be shaken. And I believe there's a shaking. I believe, you know, the ability to show off how cool, you know, the blessings in your life are by flaunting all of the, you know, temporary blessings as if they were eternal. I believe there's much of that that's being exposed and God in his love dealing with. Because we're all, just so you know, we're all capable of doing that. It's not like, you know, somebody else is, but I would never do that. No, you would. Trust me. That's what we do. And the ability to go, God, I just want to know what's important. And then I want to be focused on the important. Jesus said this about the Spirit. I'm going to turn it over to Katie here. In John 7:38, he talks about there's a way to believe in God. And the way Jesus described it was, believe in me as the Scripture says. In John 7:38, he says, he who believes in me as the Scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. That living water is literally the Spirit of God. And I believe some, again, I'm not a theologian. I just know that some would misquote that and say, he who believes in me, as the Scripture has said, rivers will flow. No. He who believes in me, no comma, as the Scripture says, comma, he who believes that I am the king who will rule and reign forever. He who believes in me as the righteous judge. He who believes in me as the one who will make every wrong thing right. He who believes in me that I will leave no stone unturned. That I take into account every cup of water that's given to a little one in my name. He who believes in me that I'm able to overcome death, hell, sickness, the grave, and every other foul thing that sin has introduced into humanity. And one day it'll be vanquished forever. Whoever is believing in me as that guy will be in line for a flood of my Spirit to pour out of them and refresh and restore and help others. That's why it's so important this moment to say there's an increase of the Holy Spirit. It's in the earth and available now. And my job is to believe in the one who promised it, just as the Bible says he promised it will come. That's my job. I was a little nervous a while back at seeing all this deconstruction. If you're familiar, if you're watching any of the spiritual tendencies of the day, deconstruction isn't necessarily bad, but it's been hijacked just like a lot of righteous causes. Deconstructionism in this day is basically sorting out that which is just religious rhetoric as opposed to that which is actually genuine relationship with God. The deconstruction that's going on in much places is really good. We can't attain righteousness on our own works. We can't get to God by going through forms and rituals. And when we lay those things down, I believe we're aligned to understand and to receive the reality of the relationship with him. But there's this other deconstruction that really is seeking to attack the deity of God, seeking to attack the validity of the Word of God, seeking to diminish the power and the work of the Holy Spirit, seeking to diminish the value of the Church of Jesus Christ in the earth as salt and light and representatives and ambassadors of the kingdom of God. Don't fall into that trap and say, you know, the whole church thing, this is the statement. You know, I like God, but I don't really like the people. I like God. I love God. Jesus is cool, but the church is really all jacked up, and I don't have anything to do anything with it. Beloved, beware. I can hear one of the 500 say, you know, I love Jesus and everything, but these 500 people, they'll leave those 120 to go, man. They're people, they're all weird, you know. Some of them smell like fish, you know. Some of them, really, they're fishermen, and just beware. Don't be deconstructed. Don't be deceived in believing. You're part of the body of Christ. The body of Christ is essential in your life. And the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, his promise is to his bride, his church, which we're part of. Now, what I've done is I've asked Katie to share. She sees signs, wonders, and miracles. She's part of the Awaken the Dawn team that are taking the tent to different cities for revival. And I said, Katie, tell us some testimonies of what God is, what you've seen God do, because there's nothing that builds our faith like hearing real life stories of real people being touched by the power of God. But before I do that, I want to say a couple of things here and give her a minute and also give our slides person a minute. We support Katie monthly as a missionary here in our congregation. But you can support her too. We got this cool thing. I don't even know what it's called, but she showed me how it worked on my phone, and I thought it was amazing. It's one of those codes that, what's it called?
QR.
A QR code. Thank you. I'm probably the only one in the room that didn't know what that was, right? You can actually put your phone to take a picture of that, and you can give to her either one time or look at Charlie. That's it. Just watch Charlie, everybody. He knows how to do this. There you go. Huh? Yeah. And because she operates on a budget that most of you couldn't believe, you know, monthly, you couldn't operate on weekly. We support her, but I want to make sure that everybody knew that they had the opportunity. You could actually go to Awaken the Dawn. You could write us, because, you know, if you wanted to write us a check, we would get it to her. But probably the easiest way to support her is you go to that thing right there, put your phone on it, and select Katie Temple, and you can send money right to her. Is that right? That do good?
Sure.
Okay, good. Tell us about what God's doing, Katie.
Awesome. Hey, thanks. That clap was for you. Great job on your part. Just kidding. Mackenzie, I just sent you another slide that I'll probably have you put up towards the end. Sorry, I forgot about that. You're awesome. Let's give it up for Mackenzie. Come on. You know what? People who have the heart and desire to serve in the local church are like my fave. Because it really takes a lot to serve the local church. And I'm just thankful for people like Mackenzie and others. I know that this house is really awesome at serving this local church and even this city in some pretty amazing ways. Like Scott said, if you give through Awaken the Dawn, everything's tax deductible. And so I am on the trend again to raise monthly support, because as you know, like, inflation is like the worst, right? And so some of my supporters in the recent year have had to stop supporting me because of that. And so that's part of what I'm here to do, but also just be with you guys. It's so wonderful to be back in this house. I love this family. I might cry. Dadgummit. I'm not crying. You're crying. I love that I can be here in a moment of telling you what Jesus is doing in the earth. Because I've got some global things to share with you also. But I love that I can be here, and it's like, home. I can look at faces of people that I love and have done life with for 15 years, which blows my mind. Like, whenever I was talking to Rachel the other day, I was like, I moved here in 2007. That was 15 years ago. Oh, I'm old. And so, aren't we all? So feel free to do that. If you want more information on what it means to give to me monthly or even one time, then I'll be eating lunch, you know, here. So just come sit by me. Just say, hey, Katie, I want to talk to you about this. What does this look like? And I just want to say, too, to the missions board of this church, thank you. And to this church in general, thank you. Thank you for, this is a wonderful thing. I did not reach out to the missions board of this church and ask them to support me. This might make me cry too. But I was reached out to by them. And so, like, that's what I, like, it's the most humbling thing. Like, that hardly ever happens. Like, I hardly ever get a call that says, hey, Katie, we want to give into you monthly, you know? And so I just want to say thank you for thinking of me and thinking of my life in Christ. And the lives that God is using me to impact and the nations he's using me to impact. And so thank you. I honor the love and the generosity of this house. That's all I'm going to say on that. Harabasheke. Okay, look, that's a little bit of like, Holy Spirit, help me. I love the Lord. You can if you want to, Mackenzie, there, go to that one, that picture of me with my hand held out. I'm going to talk to you. Scott basically preached a message that I was going to give to you today. And so it's pretty awesome, but I want to share a couple of testimonies with you. This picture, is me in Kansas City, which just happened, this last May. It took place. We took that, that tent that you see is my tent. I put that up, me and in a small team. We actually put that 3,000 plus person tent up for in Kansas City. We take it all over the U.S. And we put it up, and kind of the heart that the Lord has given us is we want to create a habitation place in the cities and regions of America and the nations of the earth for the church to come together in John 17 unity, where Jesus prayed to his Father, that they would be with me in my glory, that they would experience you, and that they would be one. And that is like the driving, that's like one of the driving forces of what we do, is when we take the tent to cities, it's for the centrality of Jesus' presence. That the church, we want to come in and serve the church of that city and that region. And so to gather the church around day and night worship and prayer and gospel proclamation. And so some of the things that we did, Kansas City was recent, so I'll just give you some of the cool stuff that happened in Kansas City. It'll give you an overview of kind of what happens. We did day and night worship and prayer in this tent, and we actually had, this part isn't normal, we actually had five other regional tents in Kansas City that were going day and night. We had a West Coast tent, an East Coast tent, a Midwest tent. We had a tent dedicated to Israel and a tent dedicated to the nations. And they were filled with people, worship teams, hundreds of worship teams gathered that week to worship Jesus day and night. And we had people that came in from Lebanon. We had friends that came in from Brazil. We had friends that came in from Korea just to sit on a stage that's half the size of this with or without a sound system and love Jesus, because it was a divine moment that they were believing for, an outpouring of the Spirit. And we believe that there is partial fulfillment of that in Kansas City. It was just a wonderful time. We trained. Every day we did evangelistic training, which is what we normally do. This time, because obviously the Send was a big draw for that, we did partnership with IHOP Kansas City and the Send for this Awaken the Dawn Kansas City moment. There were actually thousands. every day we were training 1,200 people. Every morning, we'd do blowout worship, love on Jesus, and then we did a short training with them and sent them out in teams to flood Kansas City. And during those 4 days, there were nearly 500 people saved. Not only were they saved, there were healings that took place, deliverance that took place, but this, in my opinion, salvation is, yes, the best part. But this is like the cake and eat it too, is that they were put into local churches. Yeah. They were put into communities where they can get discipled and loved on, and that they're not doing it alone. And so that is like our big thing. Like whenever we go to cities and we do this, we do day and night worship and prayer, we preach the gospel, we send teams out, we have a baptismal at the tent. And so people are getting saved in the afternoon and coming to the tent that night, and they're getting baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit, and God is like pouring his Spirit out in such marvelous, beautiful ways. So I just love it. One of the things, we went to Tampa this last summer, and we're actually going back there again in November, but we went to Tampa, and we gathered just over 50 churches in Tampa. And one of the older pastors who's been there for 40 plus years came to our leadership and said, "This has never happened. The Church of Tampa doesn't get together like this, just so y'all know." But the beautiful thing is that we like to take a team prior to taking our tent. We like to take a team a couple months before to these cities. And we kind of do some networking, and we kind of cast vision for what we want to do. We don't want to come in there and do, "Hey, this is the Wake of the Dawn show. Come on, let's have a good time." No, we want to come in and we say, "We want to serve you." And the way that the Lord has brought us to serve you is John 17 unity around the glory and the presence of Jesus. And to create a moment, an atmosphere of heaven together where he's lifted up above every name. And we send teams out, and we get and people are getting saved. And so we did that. 50 churches ended up joining us for the tent event that took place in July in Tampa of last summer. And again, that hasn't happened. Out of that moment, 19 houses of prayer and or prayer rooms were birthed in Tampa alone. The beautiful thing about that is I'm not in a house of prayer planting movement. I'm in a movement that we want to see Jesus lifted up in every city, tribe, tongue, and nation, right? But people caught vision of the biblical understanding of whenever you lift Jesus up and you give him his space that he's worthy of, then he will draw people to himself. And so that's the beauty. We didn't try to plant 19 houses of prayer or prayer rooms. They caught wind of Jesus' plan in Acts 1 when they gathered in the upper room. That was a foretaste of what's coming around John 17. That Jesus' high priestly prayer says that they would be with me where I am in my glory. We get to experience that now. But there's an even greater glory. I just want to read, but before I move on with some more testimonies, Malachi 1:11. This is like, whew. This verse is like my verse. I'm just like, come on, Jesus. This is what I want. Because I want a heart that's pure. I want a heart that loves Jesus and it doesn't lift its soul up to falsehood. Amen. Who wants that? Who wants a heart that's, you know, clean hands, pure heart? I'm here for you, Jesus. I give my yes, take the no out of me. That's one of my favorite prayers. God, take the no out of me. God, any place that I have a no in my heart, God, would you just remove that so I can just have a full, pure yes to you? So Malachi, this is the last book in the Old Testament. It's set to be, you know, set like a few hundred years before the New Testament, but I want to read chapter 1, verse 11. From the rising of the sun even to its setting, so day and night, there's no end, right? My name will be great among the nations, says the Lord. In every place, incense is going to be offered to my name and a grain offering that is pure. For my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord. This is my jam. That means incense is worship. Day and night, from the rising of the sun to its setting, incense is going to be offered all over the earth. So Jesus, the Lord, this is going to happen. This is a promise. This isn't oh man, that'd be awesome. Can you imagine like worship like in the Czech Republic, like you're just walking down the street and, oh dude, that's lit. Let's go. They're worshiping Jesus. I worship Jesus. No, this is a promise. It's not just a happenstance. This is going to happen. Upon Jesus' return to the earth, there is going to be incense in every nation, through every tribe, and every tongue. That gets me fired up. Not only that, but there's going to be offered to his name a grain offering that is pure. You guys ever read Matthew 9? Some people have, maybe. Matthew 9. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest and send out workers into his harvest field." You guys ever read Matthew 28? Matthew 28. "All authority has been given in heaven and on earth to me. Go therefore and make disciples in all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I command. And lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the earth." I believe that the grain offering of Malachi 1:11 is souls. I believe that it's not just wheat. It's not like, yes, that Old Testament, that's real. But I believe that the grain offering that's going to be offered to the Lord that is pure is the salvation of souls. That whenever he's lifted up and there's incense going on, people are going to be getting saved left and right. We have a friend who started, sorry, I'm getting off a little bit. Y'all good? I know we're going to eat lunch. It's like 1 minute past 12. Don't worry, stick with me. I had a friend that tried to do some evangelism in a Middle Eastern nation. He was from that nation. He was out. He got saved. Was out preaching the gospel in a Muslim nation. No one was getting saved. He hears about the House of Prayer in Kansas City. Comes and does a internship with them for a season. Goes back, plants a House of Prayer. Within weeks, people were getting saved. Why? Because there was an established space where Jesus' name was being lifted above every other name. And that breaks open the atmosphere for hearts to encounter Christ. And so I believe that the Lord is doing this. And that's why we take that big old tent, 3,000-person tent that's got to be hauled by an 18-wheeler all over the nation. I'm not fitting that thing in the back of my Outback. You know what I mean? Like that thing, that Subaru's not gonna pull that thing around. We get to do this. We get to not just take a tent for the sake of taking a tent, but for public displays of the beauty and the reality of Jesus' presence. People come in. People just come. You think about it. You're playing like music and it sounds good, kind of, you know, for the most part. Depends on the hour of day you get there, you know. And they're like, "Man, what's that? I hear like a ripping electric guitar going on right now. What is happening over there?" You know? And then they come and they experience something they've never experienced before in their life. And then they ask someone, "What's going on?" And then they could say, "We're loving Jesus." And they're like, "What?" You know? And that just opens up. It opens up a door for the gospel like it talks about in Colossians 3. All right. I'm going to tell you a couple more testimonies and then we'll wrap it up. What is God doing in the tents? He's gathering his people around his presence in John 17, unity, gospel proclamation. There's healings. I was telling Stacia the other day, a couple of years ago, we were doing a gathering, and we were in the middle of worship. This is a wild thing. God loves to heal people in worship when no one's laying hands on them. Y'all ready to hear a couple stories like that? Wild, okay? No human interaction, okay? Presence of God. We're in this moment of worship. We hear this testimony later. And girl who is overcome with depression, oppression, self-harm, cutting, all the things. She's got scars from years of cutting. All of a sudden, her scars are gone. Are you kidding me? Jesus made her skin new. I know, it kind of like short fuses your brain a little bit, right? But there's eyewitness from her friends and her grandmother who know her, right? It was about a week later, we were at a gathering, and her grandmother comes up with her, weeping. Just weeping. My granddaughter was overcome with depression, anxiety, all these kind of forms of depression. She had scars all over her arms, and they're no more. I know. This is what God's doing. This is like power from on high. You lift Jesus up, and the enemy has to flee. Even in earthen vessels. And it, what's the beauty? Oh, man, there's so much. The beautiful part is that Jesus, just like he was bent with compassion when he walked in the earth, he's still bent with compassion for the hurting and the wounding. And he's going to touch them so that he receives glory and people are made new in him. That's what he's doing. And we're just a part of the story. This is the beautiful thing. We love collaboration so much. We know that we're just a minute part of the story globally of what God's doing. There's another girl who had broken her tibia and her ankle, just like separated. She had surgery like a month or so before. She came to our tent this last spring, and she was in worship. She felt some like tingling going on in her ankle, and was like, "That's strange. I wonder what's going on." And she just continues to worship, and then she feels it increase, and she starts feeling like fire around her ankle. She has a boot on. She's walking with crutches, you know, things like that. And she just feels this moment of faith of, "I think I just got healed." So she, by faith, takes her boot off and puts full weight on an ankle that a month earlier she had surgery on. No pain, nothing, full rotation of every joint in her ankle, and was like running around the tent going, "I'm healed. What is happening?" And so we brought her on stage and we asked her to share, asked her to share what had happened, and she told us, and then healing started breaking out all over, and people are just like weeping because they're experiencing the power and the love of Jesus right before their eyes fill someone's body. This is the beauty. This is the beauty. It's amazing. It's amazing. Those are just a few. I'm gonna cut it short. I have more, and so you can definitely ask me at lunch. I want to tell you just a few things of what's coming. We are taking the tent around the U.S. We're going to, this fall, we're taking it to Dallas. We're coming to Nashville in October for the Feast of Tabernacles. So that's only, what, maybe like a 5.5-hour drive? Am I right, my Nashville homies? Nashville, probably 5-6 hours? Six, all right. That's a day trip if you're young. If you're not, then get a hotel. or just stay overnight in the tent and love Jesus, because we don't stop. We just keep going. We're going to Nashville. We're going to Houston and back to Tampa. The reason we're going back to Tampa is because we're not just in it for a one-hit wonder and then we're gone and we're moving on. This, like, we really believe in building the church and encouraging. What's crazy, Tampa is just, like, blows my mind. Tampa has continued to gather once a year. They're actually gathering today. They gather on Pentecost. Because of what took place in the tent, the church continues to gather every year on Pentecost. So they're actually doing a citywide church gathering today at a baseball stadium. They shut down their own church services. They're not taking up an offering. They just want to gather around Jesus together and remember what he's done and ask him for a fresh outpouring. Are you kidding me right now? What church didn't take up an offering on Sunday? Especially a gathering like that, whenever you could absolutely take up an offering. You know what I mean? But it's because they've been wrapped, they've been captured and fascinated with the beauty of Jesus in John 17, unity. Come on. All right, a couple more things. I am, my role in Awaken the Dawn is I'm on executive leadership with Awaken the Dawn. I am, I'm over the prayer movement and the mission side of Awaken the Dawn. So anything that's prayer worship related, I have, I'm oversight of. Anything missions related, I'm oversight of as well. And so one of the places that we go to is the Middle East. We go to the Middle East quite often. This is being recorded or no? Yes? Okay, I'm gonna be like kind of cryptic, but if you want like more details, then talk to me at lunch. I'm having a lot of conversations at lunch. You know what I mean? And someone, you know, get me food or something if I'm talking. I'm just kidding. Anyway, so we go into the Middle Eastern nations, and one of them wants us to actually do a tent. Which is kind of wild, and it is like in the heart of like Islam. Like it is like Yeah, talk to me later. They have caught vision of what God wants to do. We've been working with these people for a long time. So it is like trusted relationships. We know who they are. They know who we are. It's just wonderful. But they're asking us to come in October and do the first tent in one of these cities that you would go, what the heck? A couple of years ago, we went to that city and did the first 24-hour prayer meeting that has ever happened in that city to anyone's knowledge. That city does have two churches. It's a very large city. It has two churches, but it's very Islamic-ruled, heavy-handed government. And so we had to be, you know, pretty chill about it, you know. But when you take a tent and you put it up in a city that you have in the past been pretty chill about gathering prayer and worship, and you're just going to, like, put it up in the city, that's no longer chill. You know what I mean? And so we're praying into it. We're really believing that the Lord is going to do something special. He's been doing some really special things with this particular group. They, just this last year, our crew over there, they were able to go into a city that is, it's even greater Islamic rule than the city that they want us to bring a tent to. And they were invited into a mosque to preach the gospel. The leaders of the mosque said, come in and tell us what you know. So they, in boldness, like the homies in Acts, were like, we're going to do this. And they preached the gospel, and people were getting saved left and right in that mosque. They're handing out Bibles in different languages, and they now have online discipleship going on with these people because everyone's got a cell phone. And so even people who, I mean, it's incredible what God's doing in the nations. And then the other thing that I am involved in personally is we have a Revive, a leadership training school and a worship school called Revive School. If you want more information, Mackenzie, I think I sent you that slide. If you want more information on what Revive School is, you can text the number 474747. You can text Revive School, all one word, to that, and we can get some info to you. If you're 18 and older and you're like, what the heck am I doing with my life? Then text that number. Maybe you can come do life with me for a little bit. I'm here for that, you know. And so what we do is we're training up leaders, we're training up musicians, those who will not only be part of ministry, there are some that choose to stay, but we want to equip a generation with biblical values, understanding, theological understanding of who Jesus is, what he's doing in the earth, and how to influence the places that you're called to for the gospel. And so that is our deal. And so we're not trying to get people just to join our movement. We want to see people equipped with the fivefold ministry and the word and worship and go out and do it. And so again, if you want more info on that, you can either text that number or come talk to me at lunch. I'm gonna end there. I think Scott's hungry. I'm just messing around. I'm just kidding. But I know I just like water hosed y'all for like 25 minutes. And so thank you so much for loving me. Thank you for your kindness towards me. And again, I would love to have all the conversations that I can today, even if it means that we stay after a little bit. I might need a ride unless Hubens gives me the car. What do you do? And so, yeah, I love you guys. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Amen. Amen. Stand with me, if you will, and we're gonna pray together. I'm going to pray over Katie, and we're going to pray. Yeah. So, God, we just thank you for all that you're doing, Lord, through Awaken the Dawn, through the tent, and through Katie Temple.
Yeah, God.
Now, we thank you that she could be with us today. We thank you, Lord, that, Lord, where she goes, you go.
Yeah.
But also, Lord, where she goes, we go.
That's right.
And so, Father, we bless her. Lord, we thank you for this time today, Lord, that your Holy Spirit in this place, Lord, empowering, enlightening, Lord, invigorating hearts and lives. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to gather together, even afterwards, Lord, that we could have lunch together, that you would bless it as well. Yes. And say, Father, we give you all the thanks, all the glory, all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you. You're beautiful. Thanks for hanging in with us, and we'll see you at lunch.
Gracious is the God who came to us. How wonderful and righteous is his love, our Jesus. Oh, through the suffering and the hatred of the cross, he gathered Jesus, our Jesus.